hot stuff.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the fansmanship.com podcast. It's Owen here. I got a chance this week to talk with the Cal Poly women's volleyball coach, first-year women's volleyball coach, Sam Crossan. You can picture Sam pretty tall, about 6'4", 6'5", maybe, and just kind of oozing volleyball. You can picture men's volleyball players. Basketball players wear the short socks on top of their tennies. Sam had the mid-calf socks that I definitely associate with the volleyball. He seems to ooze kind of a laid-back attitude as far as and mellow attitude that you might find somewhere on the beaches of Southern California or maybe Santa Cruz. And it turns out that he is from Santa Cruz originally. And I got a chance to sit down and talk to him about the upcoming year, the team, the transition to the new coach that he is, and a little bit about volleyball in general. I hope you enjoy fansmanship.com podcast. I'm here with Sam Crossan, the Cal Poly women's volleyball coach. Sam, how's it going?
Great.
Good. Happy to be on the Fansmanship podcast here with you. It's been kind of an interesting few months, interesting year for the program here at Cal Poly, the volleyball program, with an interim coach last year. You've been on the job now for almost six months,
yeah.
Okay, great. So tell me what it's been like for you since you got hired here, and what have the last 6 months been like for you?
You sure we only have a half hour for
you can spend as much time as you need, yeah.
It's been a great experience so far. It's you know, kind of coming in and not having any, you know, direct contact obviously with the program until I got here, and just kind of coming in and trying to get everything kind of lined up and going in the direction that we want it to go. You know, everything from current players, who's here, who's not here, staff, assistant coaches, you know, academics, where are we with our players in terms of academic standing and graduation, team and team chemistry and team building, recruiting, you know, fundraising, all the things that kind of go on when you, you know, start as a head coach, and things you got to kind of take over and get going in the direction that you want. So it's been challenging, but it's a fun challenge. You know, you get to show up to work every day and lead and direct and, you know, get everyone kind of following the path that you're kind of building as you go. So, you know, there have been some hurdles in there, but it's a great group of players and coaches who are here. So it makes every day fun. And, you know, I think we're in a much better place than we are, you know, now in July than we were back in February. So I think we're going in the right direction.
So the off season for an established coach, you know, somebody who's been at a place for a while, or an assistant coach, has to be busy as it is. Take me through like a timeline of kind of different things that have happened at different points during the off season, as far as when the recruiting season is, when, you know, how much contact have you been able to have with the players,
right.
all the things. Like that.
Well, I got here literally at the end of January. We were already in the winter quarter for school. We were kind of just started kind of in the middle of our non-traditional individual time block. So we only had 8 hours a week with the girls, 2 hours a week in the gym. So lots of, you know, weights and conditioning things with the players. It was a good time to kind of get in the gym with them and just kind of get to know one another a little bit better. But also the very start of kind of the big recruiting season for us in terms of the juniors that we're looking at, who are a year away about, you know, from coming to Poly, or kids that we want to have here. So February is kind of a really big start of recruiting. We get to March. March, we started the week after spring break with our non-traditional 20 hours a week. So it gave us time to kind of get in the gym with them individually first,
sure.
Kind of get a feel for where we're at in terms of skill and development, and kind of assess what we need to work on in the springtime. So we were in the gym from March, April, all the way up until the beginning of May with full team practices, 20-hour weeks, weights, conditioning.
Sure.
And then lots of recruiting. You know, Caroline and myself, Olivia, were out pretty much at every one of the major qualifiers, a couple tournaments up in NorCal and down in SoCal as well, to kind of make sure that we're getting out and getting, you know, faces with names and
sure.
things like that, and just kind of, you know, making sure that people knew who was here at Poly and who they'd be hearing from over the next few years. So that was kind of the the non-traditional spring season, and then graduation June. Some of our girls are here for summer school now, so they have access to the weight room and the gym if they want to go do open gyms. Some of our girls are going home for vacation. Some have summer, you know, internships and jobs that they go back for. And then everyone comes back on August 7th to start fall camp. So, you know, it was a good time period to kind of get to know more about the players and the team and where we're at and where we want to go. So,
excellent. The quote that I picked up from when you were hired, your boss Don Oberhelman, said he's more quiet and reserved. He's a listener. He's exactly what the program needs right now. Someone who brings a calmness about him, a lot of stability, and he's going to think very, very carefully about every decision he makes in the leadership of the program. It seems like Coach or Don talked about you being a good listener, and you've had 6 months to listen. What are some things that you've heard as far as that are going to help you, you know, moving forward with the program?
Gosh, I should be asking Caroline and Olivia that. I'm sure they vent more to the assistants than they do the head. I was once an assistant, know that with all that comes with that job. So, the things that I've heard a lot that are very big positives with the girls are just the structure of things. We try to be really good in terms of being proactive and giving them schedules and giving them all the things that we, you know, want and need them to be at in terms of practices, what their weekend schedules are going to look like, how much time we give them to kind of block off for academics. There are lots of things that encompass, you know, being a student athlete and a volleyball player here at Cal Poly, and it's something that requires a lot of time. And the more you can kind of give them a heads up on this is what's going to be required of you. We've got a great bunch of girls that are good about, you know, designating when they should be doing what they're doing. So that's one of the things that I think works well for them. There were some surprises during our first couple of team meetings on, you know, are we going to get any phone calls and change the schedule? And it's like, yeah, you know, occasionally some things might come up that we need to go to. In terms of off-campus events, we've had a couple of community service projects that were good, that were additions to our schedule, but mainly just kind of the, you know, the principles that we want to operate with in terms of what our program stands for and what we're going to be about. But also in terms of, you know, it's a big time commitment for them, and it's something that I, you know, take seriously and want to make sure that it's not something that just that they're at beck and call for me and the staff. You know, they need to have time to, you know, kind of decompress and unwind at times. They need to have time to block off where they know it's go time and this is practice and this is when I get my academics and my coursework done. So mainly just the structure of what their daily and weekly kind of schedules look like have been a big positive so far.
I talked with Coach Holher from the soccer program, mm-hmm. and I was asking him about kind of what his players' off seasons look like in terms of both contact time and, like you said, right. things like open gym or, you know, where else they play and how else they play. How important is that kind of off time for a, you know, 19, 20, 21 year old student athlete to be able to have that, like you said, to decompress? Yeah. And I know there are kind of varying opinions on the intensity of that and right. how it has to be throughout the year for a volleyball player. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you need to have, there needs to be some downtime. I mean, you know, it's that they're back in August. They go all the way, you know, hopefully till the middle of December is the Final Four. They come back. We're on quarters, so we're already back in the gym in January. We go from January. They get, dead week finals week, spring break. That's all the way to June. So really kind of the middle end of June and July are the only times during the course of the year where they're not, you know, required to be anywhere, required to do anything. They get their summer workouts from the training staff in the weight room. So we want them to come back in the best shape possible so that we can start off on a good, you know, good place physically at least. But I think you need to kind of get away, from time to time, just to kind of recharge the batteries and overall, we want to make it fun for them as well. We don't want it to seem like a job. While they all love playing volleyball, we want to keep it kind of fresh and new and, you know, make it seem as if we are, that every day is a different day that we can get better and, you know, enjoy the journey. So kind of getting away from time to time, in my book, isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Sure. From what I've read, you spent most of your time in the Bay Area, the mm-hmm. East Bay, Moraga and Berkeley, right?
Yep.
Talk to me about what were some things that were attractive about Cal Poly as far as coming here and about San Luis Obispo and moving down here?
The number one thing was traffic. You guys don't have any down here.
people think there is. People think Hygera backs up, or they think 101 slows down for a second.
Yeah,
but they don't know, right?
No, not at all. You know, being in the Bay and being able to kind of move jobs up there from St. Mary's, I was there for 5 years and Cal for two, and it was awesome because we didn't have to move to go to either one of those jobs. So, you know, this was kind of the first big move for us.
Are you married? Do you have a family?
Marriage. I have a 4-year-old daughter and an 8-month-old daughter. So it's, you know, it's the best of everything down here. I mean, you've got, you know, the location, the beach. You can go over to the, you know, Paso Robles and Atascadero if you want to go, you know, to the valley. You know, we've got, you know, 20 minutes, half hour to cows and farmland, and you've got 15 minutes to beaches and surfing. So you kind of got everything here, along with just the people that are here are awesome. You know, there's a lot of people that are here to, you know, that want to make Cal Poly great. A lot of alums are still in the area. There's a big following of community support here as well. It was a head coaching job, which is something I've always, you know, wanted to have. And, you know, kind of get to in my coaching career as an assistant for kind of the last 10 years. So, and also the school. I mean, there's so much to just the environment of Cal Poly from an academic standpoint. So, you know, the academics, the program, the conference, it's certainly some place that I think is being looked at by a lot of recruits in terms of where they want to go to school just because of all the things that are being offered here. So, you know, there aren't a whole lot of negatives. And if there are, I haven't found them yet. So,
great. Back when you were playing, probably the Big West was from what I've heard, yes, from some people, you know, dominant over the Pac-10, Pac-12.
Yes.
Now it's kind of flip-flopped during the last few years. Can you talk a little bit about that shift and transition, and as you go into your first year in the Big West? What are some thoughts that you have, or do you try to use that in recruiting? Like, hey, it doesn't have to be this way. Right. Like, you know, it used to be that the Big West was a lot better in volleyball, right?
Yeah. When I was in school, kind of the mid late 90s, you know, it was UOP and Santa Barbara and Long Beach State, you know, perennial top 25, top 10 programs. There's been some shift over the last, you know, 5 to 7 years. The four Pac 12 now schools in California are all pretty dominant. Hawaii comes to the conference this year, which will help. The NCAA's, you know, kind of mandated the RPI now as their kind of criteria for the tournament, where they hadn't had that back in the, you know, back in the 90s and early 2000s. But it's something that our conference is aware of, and, you know, they're working towards making it a, I wouldn't say a better volleyball conference, but more of a dominant volleyball conference like it was, you know, at least 10 years ago or so. So it's certainly something that's attractive, I think, to people and to recruits to come to a place like Poly and continue the academic and the volleyball competitive side of things. And it's something that we're gonna, you know, we're gonna schedule, and we're gonna play, you know, top 10 programs, top 25 programs, because we want to play against the best teams and kind of see where we are. So, you know, we'll get there.
To come to a program like Poly that has had conference championships, mm-hmm, in the past, what kind of expectations does that add on to, or what kind of expectations do you put on yourself in the program kind of right from the outset based on that?
Yeah, the biggest, you know, we've got a motto on the top of our whiteboard at practice every day. It's just get better today. You know, we like to sit around and dream and do the whole what ifs and yes, we can, and all that kind of stuff. But it's basically just a collection and the summation of day after day after day. As we try to get our girls and our staff just focused on, I've got today to make our program better, and what can I do? And depending on what part of the season we're in, that might be, you know, time in the gym, might be time in the classroom, getting my academics taken care of, might be time in the weight room. But there are certainly, you know, goals and things that we're seeking out. You know, we had a chance to play as well during the course of spring at some spring competitions. Almost half, at least half of the other conference teams that we, you know, that we're going to play in the upcoming season. And we played, you know, well against those teams for only being around each other for maybe 2 or 3 months. So excited. You know, it's always kind of the unknown of what's going to happen. You know, but the girls are good. The incoming players that we have coming are going to get acclimated pretty quickly just to the culture of what we're doing. And, you know, one of the things that I think was really good by the time spring was over was that, you know, all the current players here certainly believe that we can accomplish what our goals are. And, you know, they're doing what they can each day to make that possible. So,
excellent. I'm more of a basketball guy kind of by trade. I see kind of the little adjustments that happen in high level basketball. Sometimes, you know, there are things that you can look at and very easily kind of observe, and you can see coaches making big changes throughout the games that are kind of easy to see, kind of put your finger on sometimes, and sometimes they're not as well, you know, especially when you talk about Coach Claro's defense or something like that. You know, it's some of those things can get complicated. Watching volleyball, especially a lot of, mostly at the high school level, not necessarily at the college level, some of those little things aren't as easy to observe as far as in-game changes. Right. And it almost seems to me, and you can tell me if this is the question, tell me if I'm wrong, that it seems like a lot of that strategy or whatever is kind of it's either going to get determined and done in practice, or else it's not going to be real easy to change it once the volleyball, more than any other sport, seems like a momentum sport to me.
Yeah.
And so once the match gets going, it seems like there aren't a lot of those kind of little adjustments. And maybe there are a lot of little adjustments to make. I can picture the high school volleyball coach at the high school I went to kind of just sitting there and kind of just hanging out. And she's very successful. She's won a couple of CIF championships and so forth. I just kind of want your thoughts on that. I mean, obviously there are some adjustments you can make, but how does that work as far as practice versus the adjustments you can make in the games as compared to other sports too?
We spend a lot of time at practice. You know, volleyball, different than basketball or soccer or football, where we're not intermixed with our opponents in some way, shape, or form. There are adjustments that are made throughout the course of matches, probably from a more subtle perspective, you know, to most people, you know, who we're serving might change, how we're blocking certain attackers might change, what our defense for certain attackers might change throughout the course of a match, different matchups that you have, different service orders that you'd have. Varying things like that could, you know, win you maybe a point or two here and there, which is sometimes when you're playing equitable teams might make the difference. But a lot of what we do, you know, we try to get our girls focused on just playing their best volleyball. You know, it's a team sport. At some point, everyone's going to have to contact the ball to make it do what they want it to do. And so we spend a lot of time at practice going through, you know, our own systems of offense and defense. You know, we'll throw some kinks in them at practice to kind of make them uncomfortable from time to time, so that when we get into matches, making those adjustments isn't all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, we've never done this before. But if we encompass the entire, you know, umbrella of the sport in terms of having, you know, players that are good at blocking and at passing and at serving and the skill sets, making those adjustments becomes a little bit easier and a little more seamless during, you know, the course of a match, because they happen all the time. And, you know, what we start out with isn't how we're going to finish for the most part. Our girls are aware of that. So they're almost at times anticipating what those changes are going to be. Sometimes they're made just on the fly, and those players that are aware of those things, we want them to be able to make those changes without having to call timeouts, since we're limited to timeouts as well.
Right.
So it's good to have them out there kind of with a good volleyball mind of what's going on, so that we're a little more proactive in what's happening as opposed to just reactive, you know. Sure. Especially when you start playing against the better teams, you know, being reactive is not necessarily the mentality you want to be in. So
not at all. Talk about for you too. Now, you know, as an assistant coach, you're probably focused maybe on one part of what your team was doing and keeping track of it and giving the head coach some information about that potentially. As a head coach, now you have to kind of probably be a little bit more gestalt, a little bit bigger picture. How is that transition going to be for you? Is that something that you think is going to be easy for you, or?
It's the hardest part for me since I've been here, you know, and even in our spring matches is, you know, understanding now that I've got two other assistants that I can, you know, delegate some info to, whereas before it was, you know, I was either in charge of offense or defense or sometimes both. So it's going to be interesting for me just personally to be able to go, okay, you're in charge of this and you're in charge of this, and I'll take what's left over. I'll take these certain parts. So that in itself will be a challenge, at least for me, a little bit. But, you know, my brain at times just kind of gets in the mode of volleyball. And so sometimes there are just things that I'm just going to do because that's either what I know from statistics that we're keeping on the bench, or, you know, feelings about what's going to happen on the court as a coach, or things like that. So instead of telling those ideas to someone else, I'm just going to get to kind of snip that and do it myself.
React to them instantly.
Yeah, exactly.
And just fix it, hopefully.
Fix it, hopefully, yeah.
That's always the goal, I'm sure. Obviously, these last few years, the last year especially, was a weird season. The team went 12 and 17, which on paper, it doesn't look great. But when you consider losing a coach, having an interim coach, right. having everything that was going on, it was certainly a weird season. What are kind of reasonable expectations for this year, and then kind of a timeline towards? Because everybody's goal is to build back into a winner, right. so that's kind of a question that I'll spare you. But kind of what's a reasonable timeline and expectation for that at Cal Poly, or do you not really think about that in those terms?
I know what we want the end result to be at some point. You know, in just kind of getting a glance during the course of spring at our opponents, lots of good teams in the Big West. I don't think there's too big of a drop off between, you know, the teams that have traditionally finished in the top two or three and, you know, the teams that haven't been as successful. But it's one of those conferences where, you know, everyone's capable of beating everyone else. It's not a conference where you can, you know, only have to show up for half the matches and not worry about the other half. Expectations for us are just going to be, you know, more concerned and aware of how we're going to play and mentally how we approach every match, and you know, going through the weekly routines of scouting reports for two opponents every weekend, and you know, coming from the Pac-12 and the WCC where they've got matches on, you know, Thursday, Saturday, or sometimes Friday, Sunday, where there's a day in between, which gives your team, you know, another day to wholeheartedly kind of scout one team and then the next team. Our matches are back to back, so really trying to increase the amount of just volleyball IQ of our girls.
Are they
just
weekend days, Saturday, Sunday?
They are Friday, Saturday.
Friday, Saturday, okay.
So that they're, you know, able to make those adjustments, like we talked about earlier, just easier. You know, every team's going to have different styles of play and different focal points of what they do to try to be successful. Mm-hmm. You know, and with having Hawaii coming in this year and Long Beach State, Santa Barbara, you know, the teams that have traditionally been up there are going to be good challenges for us. So, you know, I'd love to come in and say we're expecting to win the Big West Conference this year. You know, I don't know if we're far off from that, or how far, if we are off from that, how far we are.
It's hard for you to know, probably, not having had a lot of.
I haven't seen a lot of those teams since I was either coaching back at UOP with the men, or you know, a student athlete back in UOP in the mid '90s. So, yeah. So we'll see.
As a former men's collegiate mm-hmm. volleyball player. What are your thoughts on kind of the state of the men's game? That's kind of a random non-Cal Poly related question, but there are a lot of men's teams that have got cut over the last few years. And not every school has a men's team. What are your thoughts on kind of the state of the men's game in NCAA?
Yeah, it's interesting to watch, you know, with the men's Olympic team in 2008 winning the gold medal, you know, and now Hugh McCutcheon, who was their coach, is now coaching the women's in London. They start here pretty soon this year. And there's been, you know, what I would say is a growth in the women's side. Whereas even though there's been success at the men's Olympic level, the collegiate growth hasn't quite occurred as frequently. You know, but at the moment, you know, hopefully there aren't as many programs being cut, which I think for them is success, you know, kind of in this, you know, financial time period that, you know, at least the state of California is going through, if not some of the other states as well that have men's volleyball. But awesome to see the, you know, the attendance at the Final Four, and the Final Four now for men is on ESPN, and, you know, the semifinal matches and the final matches, and it's exciting to watch. And, you know, I get kind of amazed at times because I've been out of that world for so long that just the size and the athleticism and the power that those guys play with. It'd be nice to see. I know there's a pretty big growth, I think, going on in the lower divisions, like Division II, Division III.
Sure.
And those guys, you know, play as hard and are still student athletes and do all those things. So it's awesome to see just, you know, some growth at, you know, various levels, not just the Division I level, but also good that, you know, that some of the historical successful programs aren't being dismissed for other purposes as well. So
sure, absolutely. In basketball, you can kind of tell a style difference very clearly, mm-hmm. men's and women's game. Is volleyball similar that way, where you can kind of tell style wise or is it a little bit closer? What are the big differences as far as what you see there between the men and the women?
Yeah,
coming from a purely like a very uninformed question, but
gender differences, you know, I don't want to get in too much trouble for saying it, but you know, there's a lot of ex men's coaches that have switched to women's volleyball, and the styles that we, you know, are kind of taking with us from the men to the women are, you know, we want to be faster offensively, we want to, you know, be more athletic at the net as far as power and blocking is concerned.
Because you see men's volleyball players that are, you know, 4 feet over the net or something, right. You know, silly stuff. Guys who are, you know, 6'8", 6'10". That kind of power game just isn't possible in a lot of cases, right? I mean, that's the most obvious difference to me.
Yeah, you know, if you get up to the, you know, the top five, top 10 teams in the nation, they're probably a little bit more similar. But there's a large percentage of us that are kind of in the same ballpark in terms of athleticism.
Sure.
So really the biggest difference for us in our criteria for success is just skill level.
Sure.
You know, how well we serve, how well we pass, how well we control, you know, opponents' offenses with our block and defense. There's, you know, obviously I think a little bit more of kind of a back and forth and rallies that go on in women's volleyball. It isn't to say that they don't hit the ball as hard, but relative, you know, to the men, it's, you know, there's not a lot of equipment changes like between baseball and softball,
sure,
you know,
sure.
So we're going to put the mound closer in softball, but it's kind of equitable between pitchers on both levels because we've changed the difference.
Right.
So the net's a little, you know, the net's lower, the court's the same size,
sure.
A little less jump serving in women's volleyball than
sure.
men's volleyball.
Sure.
But you know, compared to itself, you know, there's a lot of athletic girls out there that are, you know, tall, jump
yep.
hard,
yep.
hit the ball hard.
We live in a county that's, not huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking in the 100,000 kind of 150,000 kind of range. Talk a little bit about the camp that you have going on for it's a kids, or it's a, what kind
high,
of a camp?
Right
is
now
it?
We
high
have
school?
A high school commuter camp going
okay.
on. We had a youth camp back in June, which was like 8 to 12 year olds. And this camp is kind of the 12 to 18, like middle school, high school. It's really a time for us just to kind of get, you know, kids in the area here on campus to get them kind of, you know, involved one in the sport of volleyball and try to help them in their growth
sure.
to be better volleyball players. Two, to help kind of create a fan base and get some interaction with our players and our staff and try to welcome them into, you know, coming to games and coming to camp and getting to know more about our players. You know, there's a large volleyball community in San Luis and the surrounding areas, and we want to make sure that we're trying to, you know, to reach out to them and welcome them and at the same time try to provide, you know, our insight and hopefully some expertise in trying to make them better volleyball players and help them go on to achieve their goals. So,
sure.
You know, it's good. We had an overnight camp last week and some commuters at that one, and then this one's just a commuter only, so it makes it a little bit easier to get kind of, you know, players from around the area to be on campus and get more of an experience of what playing volleyball in college is like.
How important is it to engage with, you know, local high schools? Obviously, it's not the biggest kind of area, but
mm-hmm.
Having local players is a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
And having
yeah.
good local players from around here is a good thing. How, well, I guess you're from a different part of the state, so maybe it's kind of not even on the map here as far as recruiting and other things.
Mm-hmm.
How is San Luis Obispo viewed kind of from the outside, from people who are recruiting to San Luis Obispo and especially, I guess, in volleyball?
Yeah.
And then when I say San Luis Obispo, I mean the county. And then kind of how important is that development to you as the kind of the only game in town from
mm-hmm.
a collegiate standpoint? I mean, along with Cuesta, you know, at the JC level, you know, Cal Poly's it for 100 miles.
Either
200 miles one way, you know,
yeah.
north. What's the view of San Luis Obispo County?
It's looked at as a volleyball community.
Okay.
You know, it really, the only negative, and it's not really a negative, it's just the size. You know, it's just different than L.A. or the Bay Area where you've got, you know, hundreds of high schools and hundreds of probably different clubs and, you know, thousands of players.
Yeah.
I think from a percent standpoint, it's very equitable to those areas. It's just lesser, you know, there's a less amount of just total players that are playing in the area.
Does that make your engagement of like the local teams from a fan standpoint that much more important because there are fewer people that you have to kind of go out and do more camps like this, or makes those kinds of things kind of more important, I guess, from a marketing standpoint?
I don't know how much you
think about things like that.
Yeah, I think it's easier in some ways because you can, you know, start developing a little bit more of a personal relationship, either with the schools or with the clubs that are in the area,
sure.
Which I think is a really good thing for us. So we're certainly going to, you know, branch out and have some clinics here during season, during the spring, you know, here at Poly, just to kind of, you know, increase the amount of you know, time that our girls are available to this, you know, the high schools and the elementary schools, to kind of get the word out and try to increase fan base a little bit. But no, it's a good volleyball community. So we need to do as much as we can from our end to try to welcome them to, you know, either come to matches or come to camps or reach out to them and try to help even the coaches that are in the area and try to, you know, do some coaching clinics to help kind of increase, you know, awareness of kind of what we're doing. You know, there's lots of styles, lots of different ways to play volleyball, different ways to coach volleyball. So, you know, the more you can kind of get used to or be around those differences, sure. You know, not to say that one's right or wrong, but at least it kind of gives you a different perspective on things from time to time.
Great. I just kind of took a number of players off the top of the mm-hmm. stat sheet. I didn't see a lot of games last year.
Yeah.
And I know statistics-wise, your second leading player on a lot of statistics is gone now this year, went to St. Mary's, your old school.
Yes.
Talk about a few of the players. I'm just going to name them off, and you okay. can kind of give me a quick rundown about okay. what their game's like. Jessica Keddy, first and foremost.
Keddy's was Big West Player of the Year last year. You know, she's a very good all-around skill player. We are trying to find ways to kind of use her skill level and her talent to kind of have a bigger impact on our program. So she's someone who I think is going to, you know, help us out tremendously. You know, she's doing well. She's learning a lot. She's learning more in terms of, you know, on the court and with our group in terms of leadership. You know, she's a big presence in our program. She's got a great personality, fun to be around. I think the girls have a good time with her, and it's good to have her here.
Molly Pond
will be a senior next year, outside hitter, athletic, you know, does a lot of things well, is going to be a primary passer. She's going to be looked at for a lot of offense to kind of fill some of the gaps from losing Christina from last year's team. Again, great personality, good, you know, leadership role for us and our girls. So good to have her as well.
Megan McConnell, tell me about her.
Megan McConnell will be, she's got two more years. She recently learned that she's going to be back for a fifth year for eligibility purposes. Highly skilled player, can do a lot of things, has played some middle blocker in the last couple of years. You know, certainly capable of playing on the outside, playing as an opposite. So we like players like her that are kind of multi-positional, you know, trying to develop her, you know, personality a little bit more and, you know, get her competitiveness, you know, kind of encompassing the team as well. Very competitive, as is Molly Pond. All of our girls, you know, love to get out there and compete with one another. Yeah. But love having Megan around. She's, you know, consistent. You know, you kind of know what you're going to get with her. But again, good at doing a lot of things, which we like.
Great. Who's a player who, over the course of the offseason, has really kind of developed the most, or who's shown, I guess, the most improvement over the course of the time?
A couple of others. Holly Franks is a junior next year. She's a opposite, left-handed.
Lefty.
Yeah, good.
Those are good.
Very good athletes. Good attacker, good blocker, good net player. She's been doing well and had some very good spring tournaments for us. Kate Walters and Shannon Garrett are the two setters that are coming back. Both of them, you know, have been on the court during the course of spring and got to get on the court during our spring matches as well, and trying to get them kind of accustomed and used to just setting a faster offense and, you know, making good decisions.
Is it a
like
big
that.
Difference for them, the system that you're trying to bring in versus the system they were running?
There are probably some subtle changes to things. The verbiage as far as plays, you know, set types, locations, tempos are probably 100% different, just because it was easier for all of them to change to me versus me to them. So,
yeah.
You know, the playbook, I guess, is somewhat similar, if not, you know, pretty similar to what they've done. You know, we'll figure out once we kind of get to fall camp, you know, what the strengths of their games are and try to match that up with who we have and our players and see what we can come up with in terms of, you know, offensive, you know, the tactics of which we're going to run offensively and defensively. So we really don't have a set, you know, structure of things that we try to follow and try to recruit into that system. You know, we try to just get highly skilled, athletic volleyball players, and we, you know, try to mix and mold with what we have to come up with what we're going to put out there for each match, night in and night out. So
great. What's your vision for the program and the team, and has it changed over the last couple of years? Kind of a final question. Last couple of months.
You want the big picture. National championship. If you're gonna work towards something, we're gonna work towards the biggest goal of all. Our goal right now is to win our conference. Something that hasn't happened, I believe, since 2007. With Hawaii coming in, it's certainly going to make it a little more challenging. Mm-hmm. But certainly, a great place with a lot to offer to recruits. And, coming from Cal and being aware that, Cal and Stanford up north and UCLA and USC down south are certainly going to, our powerhouses in volleyball and are going to be schools that are going to be hard to recruit against. But at the same time, there's a lot to offer student athletes that, come to Cal Poly and kind of get to know more about the school and the program itself. So right now, we're kind of just trying to get more of ourselves out there, and try to, welcome those recruits to at least take a visit to Cal Poly. We're certainly, the best part about location is we're not too far from anybody. So
is it kind of an unknown for kids from the Bay Area or from LA? Like, I feel like it's kind of the unknown, like exotic location.
It's
almost
one of those places
California.
You've heard about, but you've never been to.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up and I was born and raised in Santa Cruz and, was at UOP, St. Mary's, Santa Clara, Cal, and I've been to Poly's campus once for a match with St. Mary's. I lived in Santa Barbara for a year and have been up and down the 101 probably 10,000 times, and I've been on this campus once. So even someone who's born and raised here, until we kind of came here for, coming for the job and taking a look around and whatnot, didn't really realize how special this place is for a lot of reasons, just the people and the location and the academics and the program as well. So, just looking forward and over in the short term, in the next year or two, and in the big perspective, 5 to 10 years down the line, I think we're in a good spot now, and I think it's just going to keep getting better as the years go on. So we're excited about the future.
First match this year is
versus the University of San Diego in Austin, Texas, at a tournament in Texas.
The Toreros. Okay, and then first home match.
First home match is against Idaho. It is on a... You're going to have to edit this out. It's a Wednesday or Thursday in September. I want to say 10th or 11th, but you can fill in the date for me if you want to.
Yeah, Tuesday's, I think, the 11th.
Okay, so I think maybe Wednesday the 12th.
Wednesday the 12th.
Yeah, 5 o'clock. It's a little different time period. The schedule was pretty much 99% done when I got here, so sure. It was basically just kind of filling in some pieces here and there and just kind of nailing down some times. But, it's exciting. It's, close to when school starts, so hopefully we can get some students here as well. And it makes it a little more challenging just because we don't start school as early as some of the semester schools do. But and then conference kicks off at the end of September, and away we go. So,
Coach Crossan, thanks a lot.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.
All right.
So what is fansmanship.com?
Say what?
We're a sports website by the fans for the fan.
He wants to be a Laker.
For the Central Coast.
Catch the ball.
California.
A sweat-stained glitter Simmons wig.
And beyond.
Tim Tebow.
We love sports. Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.
Flashing clip-on nipple piercing and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free.
Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.